Celebrate the historic 100th Greeley Stampede, June 23rd through July 4th, featuring concerts, rodeo, carnival, and more. Tickets available at GreeleyStampede.org.
Good morning, NoCo. I am Tanner Schwint. That's Brian Gary in the Allo Communications Studios. This is I'm looking forward to this interview here with Chris Vanderveen, director of reporting. Director of special projects. He hasn't been the director of reporting for.
Do you want a pen? So yeah, you can that would write be great.
It's been like 3 months, and I had to mess it up once. Nonetheless, Chris, how are you on this Monday morning?
I'm good. How are you?
Good. So,
I'm good too, Chris. Yeah, good to talk to you.
Has it been 3 months or 4 months? And this is the first time I've messed it up.
I don't know. Honestly, I'm a man of a million titles. Don't worry about it. Don't sweat it.
All right, Chris. Well, and it's you wouldn't sweat it because apparently journalists are just making money hand over fist.
I know. It's good to know that. I went into a profession that pays everyone so massively early on. And continues to allow us to roll in cash as we age in our lives.
Where did this fiction come from? Where do I'm missing the origin of this because I know better.
Well, there's this idea. I think one of my really big pet peeves about people and how they look at journalism is when they look at journalism and they sort of look at what I call cable news pundits. That sort of like they're on TV all the time. They get to pontificate about all sorts of nonsense. And they're not really journalists. They're just out there to give their opinions about things. And then just cable news shows and the ridiculousness that we've talked about over and over again about national cable news and all that sort of ridiculousness. But when people equate local journalists, which are the vast majority of journalists in this country, with sort of the national types, they sort of like easily fall into this trap that like we're all the same. And I don't think people realize that local journalism in particular, does not pay particularly well, particularly early on. And there's a lot of people that are out there struggling with not a lot of money that they're making. And it's dangerous for people to sort of equate national journalism with local journalism because there's a lot of really good local journalism that's taking place. And those folks are they're not rolling in cash.
No, and listen, I'm not that far removed from graduating college and from the broadcast and journalism field, and I've got friends that are going to, you know, places in America that you don't want to go and live. Fargo is one of them.
Hey,
I know. I'm sorry, Brian, but they're making, you know, $20,000 a year to work weird long hours, holidays, things like that, and that's something that doesn't get thrown out there enough. And I just shake my head and say, good for you, because they have that fire burning in them to go and be a journalist. So whenever somebody comes out and says, well, yeah, they do it for the money, they're out of their mind.
No, but when you got that fire burning inside of you, you need to be able to afford the marshmallow to roast.
That's
on
right.
It. And that,
that is right. And Chris,
that's not easy to do.
I know you put out there, I think you tweeted out your first job page at $12,500 a year. Where was that at? Chris,
yeah,
can you hear
I used
me?
To work there too.
I think we lost him at some point,
but I can answer the questions for him if you would like. I've always enjoyed conducting
those. Where was Chris's first job
at? I believe it was at a small newspaper, somewhere in the southeast of the country.
I know he worked in Wyoming for a couple of years.
But people do get that misconception. I used to get it in radio all the time, and still do, where they think if you're in the public eye, if you work in public, that you make a lot of money.
Yeah,
and that is just not true. There are some who do.
Yeah.
There are some who do very, very well, but the majority are getting by on very small wages.
Yeah, I believe we've got Chris back up on the line. And Chris, I was just saying that, you know, I've got friends everywhere who just graduated and are making small amounts and working holidays and just weird hours. And you tweeted out that you made $12,500 your first year as a journalist. Where was that at, first of all?
It's been a little while. but two, it was in Casper, Wyoming. I was the when I got bumped up to weekend anchor, I was the anchor in the weekends, and I was making a sizzling $14,000 a year. I got bumped up a 1.5K, And it was
great.
But it was, you know, it's one of those things where I don't think people realize journalism is one of those fields that, as you mentioned, it requires people to move around the country, oftentimes in the small markets, where many, many miles away from home. And that's really difficult when you're 22, 23, 24 years old. And there's a lot of sacrifices that take place on behalf of journalists. And I think journalists need to do a better job. All of us need to do a better job of sort of explaining our stories, because this equation of us, because I think people think we cover national politics all the time. We don't. We almost never touch national politics. We cover inherently local things on a local level, and that's how we make our money, however small it may be at times.
Well, and you throw the money factor in there, but you also throw in, you know, the abuse that everybody takes on social media, which is now essential for journalists to have to break news, to gather news, things like that. And you're seeing, you know, some of the brightest and best journalists out there leaving the field. There was a very talented woman that I graduated college with that went on down in the Colorado Springs market. And she was there for a couple of years and moved on. And it shocked me when I saw that, because she had that fire. She had that passion to go and be, you know, a news person. And only a couple of years in, you know, she changed around and left the industry. And I don't know exactly why, but there's so many more factors working against good news people than there are working for them.
Yeah, I always tell younger reporters, it's like there's a million reasons to get out of this business, but find the one that's going to keep you in it. And I think that's good advice for people, just because there's so many things to sort of to keep you out and to make you discouraged and that type of thing. And then add on all of that, just sort of the abuse that I think a lot of journalists take. And this isn't a sort of a woe is journalism kind of talk, because I think sometimes journalism deserves it. But at the same time, there is a lot of abuse that really comes from people thinking that they know us simply because we're a journalist. And there's this assumption that, oh, I must be knee-deep in the Democratic Party, and that I must be hardcore left, and that all of my colleagues are hardcore left. And that, you know, there's just more complexity to who we all of us are. And nobody would want any – think about any job that your listeners are in, that are in right now. Think about any job. If you just sort of assume you know them based upon the job that they have, well, that's a pretty bad way of going about things and sort of trying to understand people.
Well, I think what we're seeing in this day and age is everybody in every occupation is feeling this kind of thing, because we're all in a society where the public is our judge on a daily basis on social media, and the public is abusive. So everybody's just feeling that's just the nature of society anymore. Everybody wants to beat everybody down. It's just the nature of the game. Unfortunately, that's where we're at as a society, and we need to do what we can to twist that individually each day with those we're around. Now, speaking of twisting, one thing that came twisting through here 14 years ago, I wanted to know your take on, Chris. Do you remember where you were when the tornado went through Windsor 14 years ago yesterday in 2008?
Oh, yeah. I was in Denver looking north, and you could see that really wicked storm that was forming just to the north of us. I remember I was out with a photographer by the name of Ken Mostek, and we were looking at he was a weather junkie, and we were looking up north and we said to ourselves, that doesn't look good. And then we had our crew up north in Fort Collins that got an incredible video of that tornado as it sort of crossed over I-25, and that was just a, you know, you say that it's been that many years and it's hard to believe it.
Yeah, it is.
But I also remember it vividly, because it was one of those things where we said to ourselves, a tornado like that we didn't think was possible that close to the mountains along the Front Range. And it happened. The way it moved was unusual. All the things about it were unusual. And the amount of destruction that it did, obviously, was unusual as well.
No question.
Well, and it's just one of those two. You know, we're talking about a lot of the, you know, the tough parts about journalism, but I feel like those are the redeeming moments when it is something that brings everybody together, and you get to be the voice of it. You get to be out there and sharing information and helping people. Those are the redeeming moments of journalism, and really as a society as a whole.
Well, and you know, not to toot our own horn, but I think that's what television news. I mean, television news takes a lot of heat for sort of being sort of concentrating on ridiculousness and that kind of thing. And sometimes I think it deserves it. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, what television news is really good at is immediacy and bringing people into what's happening right away, not just telling people through words and print, but also showing people what is going on. And I really like that aspect of television news. And you know, you talk about big weather events. This is, you know, we've had a lot of big weather events. This is Colorado. We tend to have a lot of big weather events around here.
No, it is, Chris. And the amount of snow that you guys got down in Denver, did you have to get the snow shovel back out, Chris?
Heck no. I live on the east side of Denver. And it was not a shovelable event. We just had to shake off a couple of trees.
Well, good, Chris. What do you got your eyes on coming this coming week?
Well, I got to tell you, I know I'm going to sound like a broken record here, and I know that this is the last thing that anybody wants to talk about. But at the same time, watch COVID. It's still going up in the state of Colorado, and I'm hearing more and more people that I know that are coming down with it. Not gone away. We're still in the middle of a bit of a wave. It's not going to be catastrophic. It's not going to send loads of people to the hospital. But it is going to be disruptive in your work environment and around people that you're around. And also, it can do a wonder in spoiling some summer vacation plans. So just keep it in mind moving forward that the virus is still quite active right now.
No, I think that's a good reminder as well. Chris, before I let you go, Avs and Blues tonight, who you got?
I just hope there's not like a police event on the ice.
Right.
It's getting nasty, and it'd be nice to just kind of, see how things go. But it'd be nice to bring this thing back to Colorado with a 3-1 advantage.
No, it would be for sure. And also, Chris, I know everybody knows you're a smart man, but way to stay off the Rockies bus. It's lonely on there with me right now, and it's troublesome times.
Well, what are we, two games under 500 right now? I mean, look, it's like, it's not the end of the world. It's just that it's not looking great. And the problem is that they're just in a division right now that it's just like there's so many good teams in that division that even if they were to catch fire for a little bit, like they'll still be like 30 games out of first place at the end of the year.
Yeah, well, you just led me on. I'm in here fist bumping. My producer Angel's fist bumping. And then you just brought us right back to reality, Chris.
Sorry. Sorry, I had to do it.
He's stupid journalist, man. No, I'm just kidding. Chris Vandermeer, Director of Special Projects. Chris, what do you got coming up? Where can people watch and stay tuned with what you got going on?
I'm working on those like top secret things that I can't talk about, a lot about, but I've got some really good stories that are coming up. So I'll just leave it at that.
All right. Well, we can't wait to talk about it. Chris, appreciate your time.
You bet.
Thanks. That's Chris Vandermeer, Director of Special Projects there. 7:51 the time. But again, that just goes back to your point, Brian, that 14 years ago yesterday, everybody remembers exactly. I mean, he listed off exactly who he was talking to this happened. And that's down in Denver. He was watching what was happening up north here. So that's what we want to know today with our Happy Life Gardens poll question. Where were you at 14 years ago yesterday when the Windsor tornado hit? Let us know on our J9 Agencies text line, 888-530-0043 on Facebook. At Good Morning NoCo. We'll get to some of your responses when we come back. It's Good Morning NoCo on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFK. Good morning, NoCo. Hope everyone out there is having a great start to your day. I'm Tanner Schwint.
I'm Brian Gary, and we just heard Katy Perry firework. You know, she's a judge on American Idol.
Right.
And they announced their winner last night.
Oh, they did?
Yes. Last night was the finale of American Idol. It came down to the three finalists. One of them was Hunter Girl, who Luke Bryan said, now you've turned into Hunter Woman because she's really matured in front of their eyes. But she didn't win. And some other dude who sings country.
Hunter Loser.
Yeah, that's I don't know who the dude was. It was a guy. who won who had never really sung before, and then he came on there, and of course he knocked everybody out because he's such a cute guy, and he has a potential. American Idol has no clue how to pick a winner.
No.
No, and I guess it's America has no clue to pick a winner.
That's right.
That's what it comes down to. Yes. Yes.
Political joke from Brian Gary.
Oh, right no, there. It's true. Oh, no, that wasn't even leaning that way. I wasn't going anywhere towards presidents.
I mean, it's fitting. It's even funnier now when you look at it through that light.
Watch, you can say anything, and Tanner can turn it into something political. Windex, go.
I can taste it. That's right. All right, we got a couple minutes here before we talk with Chris Vanderveen.
Hey, don't rush me, but I've got a story to tell you about. Now, I cannot stand the trend of distress fatigue clothing.
No.
All right, I don't want any of my jeans or shoes to have emotional problems.
I
don't need a therapist for my distress shoes.
I've got enough of those issues.
I don't need my
clothes. Don't need them, too.
Absolutely. Well, a luxury fashion house in a country I can't pronounce is marketing a new line of full destroyed sneakers priced at $1,850.
Oh, my God.
Now, they're a limited edition, only 100 pair of these. You can buy the non-distress version for $625. But if you want them to where they look like they have been torn up, drugged through a field of pigs, stomped on, and, all of that, you can get them for $1,850. One critic said they resemble the, quote, torn-up Converse my mom begged me to throw out when I was in high school. There's a picture of them. They're disgusted. They look like you wore them in an oil field, and brand new, $1,850.
Why? I wouldn't. There's not a piece of clothing out there that I'd pay that much for. There's not. Especially one that looks like you've been wearing it for, because you're going to buy it, then you're going to think you're looking cool. You walk in somewhere, and someone's going to go, do you need a new set of clothes or, you know, a new set of shoes? I didn't think things were that tough for you. And then you're going to feel really stupid. That, though, brought me back to a story. Do you remember, you know who Lil Nas is?
Yeah, I do.
Yeah. Do you remember his Satan shoes that he came out with?
Oh, absolutely.
There was a little
blood
bit of,
or whatever little, in them. Yeah.
There was a droplet of blood in each of them.
Yep.
Those cost $1,000.
And people ate them up.
I don't understand it. I don't understand the buying trends of the world, apparently, because if these are being launched somewhere where you can't pronounce, it just doesn't make any sense to me.
It stuns me how much money people who have a lot of money will pay to look poor.
That's exactly right. That is, can't say it any better. And
good
with
night,
that,
ladies and
we'll
gentlemen.
Move on from that because that is the dumbest thing I've heard in a while. 7:32 the time. We've got Chris Vanderveen coming up next. But first, bottom of the hour news and weather center. That's the Chainsmokers.
Whatever. I am totally lost in here now. It's like as soon as you and Angel take over, it's like, all right.
Me and Angel?
Yeah. It's this like generational gap. Suddenly I recognize nothing. I don't know what that is.
You've never heard this song?
No, I've heard of the Chainsmokers.
Really good band.
And that's what I've heard, but I've...
They're from Colorado, aren't they?
I believe so, yeah.
Are they really?
Yeah.
Okay, that's even cooler.
Educate yourself, Brian.
Well, no, I've... I've done it. I've just never listened to it.
Song's been out for like 8 years. Come on.
It has been.
Yeah, okay. Well, I was busy dealing with the Windsor tornado 8 years ago.
That was 14.
Right. Okay, that was 14. I got nothing.
You got nothing else?
All
right.
I had heard of them all those years, but I was kind of wrapped up in my country career.
Did you have that going on?
I kind of did, yeah. So I can't say I know a lot, and I feel bad about that because I can't tell you a White Stripes song. I can't tell that whole genre and time period. I don't know much about the popular music.
I don't know who White Stripes are. Do
you know White Stripes, Angel?
I know the name.
Okay, now you...
I've seen it on a T-shirt before. Right, like, that's it.
There we go. Couple of quick news stories that I wanted to get to here this morning. First of all, UNC Bears baseball head coach Carl Iwasaki has stepped down as the manager for the UNC Bears baseball team. I haven't had the pleasure of interviewing Coach Iwasaki.
And you won't.
Met him multiple times at the Friends of Baseball baseball event. I know one thing, no matter what the result was on the field, is that this guy had a huge impact on Northern Colorado baseball, even at the high school level. He was always the first to be at any event to help spread the game of baseball, to help in any way, shape, or form. And we appreciate him for that. He has been with the program for quite some time now, but after a rocky season this year, Coach Carl Iwasaki is stepping down as the head baseball coach at the University of Northern Colorado. So we will
certainly wish him the best with whatever he decides to do in the future, and thank anybody who takes the time to coach and spend time with our youth and those college athletes and so forth. Obviously, definitely made an impact on players that he coached.
Right, and yeah. And UNC with that college baseball, you hope for that to grow more. You hope for more success from that program.
Thing. It really is. I've gone to several of the games through the years, and you know, it all comes down to winning. And if something takes off and starts to become a winner, people start to get interested, and we'll get there. But don't forget, we do have a very good baseball program with the University of Northern Colorado, and you can watch some good ball games.
No, that's right. And yeah. After this season, we'll wait and see when that announcement comes on who they're going to hire there. Another quick news story. This, Brian, this always perplexed me.
There's been a lot of that this morning.
Yeah. Well, Greeley has greenlighted a lawsuit over water treatment plant renovations. I think that this is why a city imposes a lawsuit against something like this. Always just it kind of drives me crazy. But a lawsuit is looming here in Greeley. City Council did approve a legal action against the construction and engineering firms tasked with renovating the city's Bellevue water treatment facility. In 2020, the facility underwent a $25 million renovation. So we're not talking, you know, small pocket change. Not for you and I, anyways. Elon Musk, different story. But Elon Musk isn't involved here. This is the first time it's been renovated since 1947. What was that year like? You weren't around at that time?
You're funny, little man. You are. Yeah.
The facilities.
I don't know. I was still drinking my hose water, which I continue to do, and we like it. All right.
It was just right there. I had to take it.
No, I will too.
I know. So,
trust me.
This facility does process most of the city's water. The NoCo optimist, our friend Kelly Reagan over there, reports the city found several problems with the improvements made to the water. So they went ahead and built it. And then when they all got done, the city of Greeley started looking around like, wait a second, this isn't what we paid for. And I just don't understand how that gets, you know, slipped through the cracks, so to speak.
I haven't heard a word you said since you made the old crack. All I can picture is the court around the corner and your mother sitting in the green room because she hasn't cut it yet.
Oh, you've been sitting on that one for?
About a minute and a half. Yeah.
But there is.
I have to say them immediately or they'll leave me. I'm at that age. So if I blurt something out, it's strictly, okay, shut up. This is going to get... Angel!
Hey, how about you just do a live read? How about that? Talk about somebody you like here, not just me, all right?
I will. When you reach a certain age, parts of your body start to go, and that's where my friends at the Orthopedic and Spine Center of the Rockies come in. Seriously, they are the specialists in the medicine of motion. All of us get to that, and you don't even have to be an old guy like me. You can be a young fart like Tanner and still have those little aches. Tanner, of course, was an athlete at one point in his life, but that's what Orthopedic and Spine Center of the Rockies does, is they work with our youth and our athletics then, and then as you age, they can take care of those little hitches you've got going on, too. When you're ready to get moving the way you used to be, just schedule your appointment today. They're Greeley's hometown ortho group, and they even offer same-day appointments at orthohealth.com. That's for any age at orthohealth.com.
7:26 the time. When we come back on the other side, Brian's got a story for us about a pair of sneakers going for an absurd amount of money. We'll talk about that on the other side. It's Good Morning NoCo on Northern Colorado's Voice. 103.1 to 1310 KFK.
This is Good Morning NoCo with Brian Carey and Tanner Schwint on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Live from the Allo Communications Studios, it is Good Morning NoCo. What are you laughing at?
I'm just laughing right as we're going. We're in the break, and he's hollering out the things he doesn't want to talk about as we go into this one. So it's,
okay.
It's fun for me. No, I'm just saying.
But, I get it, but okay.
No, I don't want to talk about it.
No, now we're going to talk about it. Yes, we are.
We're going to read text.
No, we're not. Hold on. Monkeypox. You were seeing it in the news.
Yes.
We will discuss it once we learn more about it.
I know nothing about it, and the last thing I want to do is give any misinformation or anything like that. I'm just seeing it pop up, and will it be one of those situations where it really is something or where it really isn't something? That's all. You know,
that's right.
I know nothing, so I'm not going to pretend I do.
And that's what I want to say. The only thing that I know is just be cautious of mass hysteria, because we will see news outlets pick this up. And they will run with it, and they will say this, they will say this, they will say this. Just be careful with what you see and what you hear and what you take away from it. That's just all I will say at this. Do your research like we will do.
I've done a little.
And listen, just be cautious with what you take away from it. That's all we're saying.
I always, when I come in each morning, the first thing I do is I load up the newspapers, you know, locally and nationally, and I check out the headlines and just see what do I need to know about.
Yep.
You know, what's there? And it's all over the front page right now is this, and I don't know a thing to dive into. I tried to read some, but I always wait a few days to see if it's still being touted and on the front and so forth.
Yeah. But just wanted to put that disclaimer out there.
And needless to say, obviously, yes, we're in a day and age where we're going to be finding new things all the time. Science has advanced. We as people and animals, there's constantly new viruses, new things that are going to be popping in. And to think we ever reach a state as a community where it's like, okay, we got everything handled. All right, nothing more can pop up. There'll be no new developments for the next several months.
That's just not going to happen.
So we roll with the flow on what we want to be very careful of with this program and anybody with a microphone. The microphone is more powerful than a gun. To me, it is the most deadly weapon that we have, and we want to take that very seriously when we use these and be very sure of what it is that we're talking about, be it our opinion or if we're pretending to know something. I'll never pretend to know it. I'm either going to know it or not, or tell you this is just what I think.
Right.
All right, and I'm not going to get into I thinks when it comes to something that can cause any kind of hysteria, or we don't need to add on to need more to freak out about.
No, we
do
not.
We really don't.
We don't. And that's why I think that was very well said. And I'd like to echo everything that Brian just mentioned as well. So we know it's out there. We know it's in the headlines. It's not like we're just turning a blind eye to it. But as this develops and we learn more about it and more information comes out, because this is the thing that they'll teach you first in broadcasting school. If it bleeds, it leads. And anything that can cause this, panic, to be honest with you, which is so stupid, in my opinion, and what in the industry needs to be changed, it will be out there. That will be the headline going forward, because if there's something like this with a pandemic possibly or something like that that can come spread, especially when there's no cure for it at the moment, that's going to be dominating headlines. So do your research on it. Take it with a grain of salt and say, this is why they're publishing it. Because a lot of these stations are based on clicks, are based on this, or based on this, and it's a battle for those. So, and that's actually a conversation that I want to have with Chris Vanderveen, the director of special projects for 9 News. He's a journalist through and through. He's from that old school of journalism where here are the facts.
Hey, it's breaking story. Time to get this in.
I don't know if he's that old school. Stop the presses.
I've got something here.
I don't know if he's that old school of journalist, okay. But what are the deciding factors, and what does that look like from a responsible newsroom and an irresponsible newsroom, because that's something that always garners my attention. But what we're asking today with our Happy Life Gardens poll question, it was 14 years ago yesterday.
That was a roundabout way of wheeling back to that one, buddy.
You're welcome.
Nice job.
There. Yeah, 14 years ago running. Today. Or yesterday, 14 years ago yesterday, the Windsor tornado hit. We're asking, where were you at when that happened? What were you doing when that happened? And Brian, you've got some responses.
Oh, I certainly do. Yeah, we've thrown this up on our social media pages. And again, you can hit us up on the text line as well. Everybody who is in the area knows where they were. Like I had said, Sarah, in the State Farm stairwells, there were a lot of people that. My buddy Chris, I was at Kodak on the southeast corner of the plant. I watched a tornado come over the bluffs and ducked inside, heard the wind screaming through the air. air ducts as it went directly over us. I remember the whole plant being without power for a week. Kim said she was preparing food for graduation, took shelter in the basement of a friend's house as her husband called to tell them about the tornado. Casey said she was at Windsor Healthcare Center. Scary day, I'll never forget it. Beth, I can't imagine this one. She was landing at DIA at the time. She said the skies were eerie, heard on the radio what had just happened, and started calling friends to make sure they were okay. Can't imagine coming down in a plane at the time of all this going on. Megan says, I was in junior high. We were told to continue as normal. At one point, we ended up in the hallway for a while. Love seeing those. Now, here's a gal who was in school, in junior high at the time that it went through, always wondered what it was like to be in the schools at that time and what kind of panic that would have went through or not went through due to the administrators handling things the proper way and trying to keep everybody calm. But it was a day most of us will never forget, and we want you to just remember it. Again, it was 14 years ago yesterday that that tornado came through Windsor. Hard to believe for some of us that it was 2008.
Yeah, it was, and it was a day that, again, impacted Northern Colorado, you know, forever, and it'll be one that we learn from, and as we get into more and more into that tornado season, just some of those warning signs, and we're going to talk about that with Cody Wilson with Denver and Front Range Weather at 8:35 as well. Angel Padilla back behind the board today. Angel, you had an active couple of weeks here. You graduated college. And then was it that day that you graduated that you got into a fender bender? Well, it was more than a fender bender, but was it that day that you got in that car crash?
It was the next afternoon. I had just went to have brunch with my family for Mother's Day, and I was driving back to Littleton. I was on Santa Fe down in Denver, and I got rear-ended, ended up totaling my car. But I was able to get a new one this weekend, so we were back on the road.
All right, I love
that
it.
That is awesome. I'm so glad you were able to find something, because it's not easy right now. Is it anywhere near as good of a car as what you lost?
Oh, it's better.
Is it really?
Is it? See, good things happen after that.
It's a 2007 Pontiac G5.
Okay.
It's a nice little two-door, nice little low car. I like it.
Have you named it yet?
Yes, so when I bought it, it had a Autobot sticker on it for, like, Transformers.
Oh, okay.
And so that really, like, spoke to me. I was like, oh, I like this car. So I was looking through, like, Transformers names from, like, the old cartoon. And I was like, let me find one that fits. And I settled on Swerve.
Swerve?
Swerve.
I like, which the other vehicle should have done before it hit you.
Exactly.
Yeah, okay.
Stay off your phones when you're driving, please.
Yes, absolutely. Is that what happened?
That's what I was assuming is what happened, given the circumstances and the context of how my car was hit at the speed and how much damage was done. Yeah, she was most likely on the phone.
That drives me.
Yeah. That's what we'll say.
Thank you very much. You can quote me on that.
Yeah, I bet. Yeah, the FCC wants to quote you on what you really want to say.
Oh, yeah. Sucking all the enamel off my
that, teeth. It always just cracks me up, because it always seems like you graduate college or something really good happens, and boom.
Boom, yeah.
I just love the waves that come with this life.
Sure Angel loved riding that one. Yeah, let's hang 10 on another wave of life. Fun.
Oh, it was like adult life hit me in the face the next morning. Well, you graduated. Here you go.
Where are your cup? Because life's going to do that to you right away.
That's exactly right. 7:15 the time here. It is Good Morning NoCo, presented by Air Solutions, right here on Northern Colorado's Voice 103.1 at 1310 KFK. More coming your way in just a moment.
.1031 and 1310 KFKA. Welcome back to the show. It's Good Morning NoCo. I'm Brian Gary, along with my co-host Tanner Schwint. How we doing, brother?
Good. I just was singing a Justin Bieber song, though, and I caught myself in
that. I wondered, you
self-pity.
Had that look, because I heard you kind of jamming, and
I
then
was,
you had a look
like
you ate an onion.
Yeah.
And I
that was it.
I didn't know what that could have been. That's it. Our producer, Angel Padilla, we got the whole gang together here today. Our Happy Life Gardens poll question question. It was 14 years ago yesterday, the Windsor tornado rolled through, and we're asking what you were doing when it happened. Mark chimed in, said, I was driving a 20-foot box truck for deliveries, never so scared before or after. I'm getting more and more of the scariest day of my life things. Annette says, I was at work at State Farm when it came through the building, scariest day of my life. Diana in Loveland, my daughter was 5 years old, watched two different funnel clouds in Loveland and watched all the other craziness unfold on the TV. It was the craziest day for weather I had ever seen. We're seeing more and more of that. Fixing lunch for my daycare kids. Again, you made the point, Tanner, of how exact people are in their description of knowing exactly where they were because it was such a bizarre weather phenomena, which we can see this time of the year. And it'll be interesting to hear Cody Wilson when he comes in and his take on, you know, this time of the year and why we tend to see those things, you know, here. And are they, did that help in any way when the tornado came through? Did we learn anything from that 14 years later in detecting or being able to report tornadoes?
No, you know? Those are all good questions, and I can't wait to hear the answers to what he that question. But that's the thing, is that I bet those people who said that they were making lunch knew exactly what they were having for lunch. I mean, it was that exact, because when you get into a scenario for a lot of people, life or death, you just react, and it's just one of those that your brain, for me anyways, when it goes like that, kind of goes off. But it's just also everything's right there. That's a terrible description of it, but you kind of know what I'm saying. Like, you're not overanalyzing everything, you're just reacting. And then you're kind of just storing those for afterwards. And then you look back and go, why do I recall that? Because in the moment, there was so much panic out there. There was so much worry about loved ones. There was, okay, what are we going to do here? That it just always amazes me how people can recall so specifically what they were doing.
No, and it can set you back, too, to where it takes you a while to remember it as well.
Yeah.
And then something will hit it, and it's because you're acting in the moment. You're acting right then. And a lot of times it takes you days sitting back to realize what it was you went through and remember everything. You know, it happens to me every time we finish a show.
It's
someone
like,
will try to say, what did you guys talk about? I don't remember. It just
stuff.
Happened.
It did.
Yeah, you know, that's seriously, that's the way it goes.
I agree. All right, well, we're going to know what we're talking about coming up here in hour three.
Why?
Well, we won't remember it, but we know what we're going to talk about. Good Morning NoCo, presented by Air Solutions, coming your way on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFK.